Hey, welcome to the Lakes Church Midweek Podcast, where we've got some Q&A this week about gender roles. On Sunday, in the main message, we answered the question, what about gender roles? When we read difficult passages in the Bible that seem to be saying that women shouldn't have authority over men, women shouldn't be teaching in the church, women should be silent and not speaking in church services and church gatherings, how do we understand those passages in the light of the rest of the Bible and in light of the culture that we're in? So we'll get into those questions in a minute. You'll remember, if you've listened to the main message, that we tracked right through from Genesis through the Old Testament, the time of Jesus, and the New Testament as well, to look at God's heart for men and women. What does God have in mind when he sees men and when he sees women? Does he have different things in mind, different gender roles? Are there certain things that men should do in the church and certain things that women shouldn't do? And so we began in Genesis 1 and 2 and pointed out that there were no gender roles in God's perfect creation. Before sin entered the world, there was no division between male and female or husband and wife. They were partners in ministry, and Eve was created to fulfill Adam. And then in Genesis 3, after sin entered the world, as part of the curse, one of the things that God said was that a woman's desire would be for her husband or to control her husband, but the husband would rule over her. And ever since that time, all throughout history, there has been division between men and women. That women have wanted to control men and men have wanted to rule over women. And when you add into that a very patriarchal, male-oriented culture and the stereotypes that we have in our world, you end up with a culture where men are more important than women. And recently, in the Western world, that has been pushed back, not really by the church so much leading the way, but by the world and by non-Christians. But we're going to see God's heart for men and women being equal in God's heart, in God's eyes and in God's heart. So all throughout the Old Testament, even with that curse, even with the patriarchal culture, we still find a number of ways of God elevating the view and the status and the role of women. In the life of Jesus, who never taught on the importance of women or the role of women, or never taught on gender roles, we still find him always affirming women. Jesus never put a woman down because of her femaleness. In fact, he affirmed women in every single interaction with them and never put them down, even out of examples in his stories and parables. And in the life of Paul and throughout the New Testament, again, we find incredible partnership between men and women and incredible affirmation of the role of women in the kingdom of God and in the church, elevating their status to that of equals rather than second, third, fourth, fifth class citizens. And the great summary verse is Paul's instruction in Galatians chapter 3:28. There is no longer in Christ Jesus Jew or Gentile. That divide and that hierarchy is over because of what Jesus has done. There is no longer slave or free. That hierarchy is finished in Jesus. Those distinctions still exist, but the hierarchy is gone, and there is no longer male or female. There is still male, there is still female, but that hierarchy is gone. So out of that understanding of the Bible explains why we as the Lakes Church see men and women as equal in authority, as equal in leadership, as equal in ministry. We don't have a hierarchy of gender. Any particular way of serving in the church or any particular role in the church comes down to God's gifting, comes down to character, comes down to personality and God's call, but it doesn't come down to gender. So out of that message, we had a few questions come in. Someone asked the question based on a story I told of my wife and I receiving different amounts of money at a speaking opportunity that we shared. And they just asked, did we even out the money in the envelopes? And from what I can remember, yes, we did, because it wasn't the money that was important. And we already understood that we were equal in status in God's eyes. So we did equal out that money, I think, however much it was. Someone asked a follow-up question about 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9. Let me read verse 8 and 9. Paul's explaining about how to worship God, and he's talking about this interesting idea about head coverings, which we don't really deal with today in our world, but was a big deal with the Jew and Gentile divisions in the church in the time that Paul wrote into the Corinthian church. So he writes in 1 Corinthians 11, 8. For the first man didn't come from woman, but the first woman came from man. And verse 9, and man was not made for woman, but woman was made for man. We already know from everything else that Paul modeled in his life and from his teaching that he wasn't promoting a hierarchy of male and female. So when he says that man was not made for woman, but woman was made for man, he's pointing out the creation order, that woman wasn't made first and then man was made to fulfill her and to complete creation. But it was the other way around, that woman was made for man, that God created Adam first, recognized it wasn't good for Adam to be alone, and so then created Eve, the woman, for man. So in our understanding of gender roles as a church, we wouldn't read 1 Corinthians 11:9 as a hierarchy or gender roles passage, but just as an explanation of the creation order, that man wasn't made for woman, to complete woman in the creation order, but that woman was made to complete man. Someone's asked about a little bit more explanation on the 1 Timothy chapter 2 passage. We focused on just a couple of verses towards the end there, but let me read from verses 11 right through to 15. We had a couple of questions about these passages. So Paul says, women should learn quietly and submissively. I do not let women teach men or have authority over them. Let them listen quietly. For God made Adam first, and afterward he made Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived by Satan. The woman was deceived, and sin was the result. But women will be saved through childbearing, assuming they continue to live in faith, love, holiness, and modesty. Let me just point out again, as I did in the main message, that this translation I just read, the New Living Translation, doesn't bring it out. Most of the others do. But Paul changes the tense of the word that he's using. So he talks about women learning quietly and submissively. And then he changes, after having talked about women, 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 right through chapter 2, in verse 12 he changes and he says, I do not permit a woman to teach a man or have authority over them. And he says again about the woman, or a woman, and then right at the end of the passage in verse 15 comes back to women. So we don't know for sure, but knowing that Paul doesn't contradict himself, knowing that Paul affirmed men and women in ministry wouldn't now be bringing in a hierarchy, one of the things that we think is possible is that Paul was writing specifically about a particular woman. So I do not allow that woman to teach men or have authority over them. Let them listen quietly. One of the other things we talked about as being possible there was that in the church in Ephesus, in the city that they lived in, was the home to the Greek goddess Artemis, also known as Diana, the fertility cult and the goddess there. And it's possible, in terms of verse 13 and 14, in talking again about the creation order, for God made Adam first, and afterward he made Eve, that Paul was directly teaching against and correcting a view on the creation order. So in that Artemis Diana fertility goddess cult, and this particular woman who was doing false teaching and causing issues and division in the church, that Paul not only was saying, don't let her speak, but here, let me explain why what she's saying is wrong, because God made Adam first and afterward he made Eve. So it's possible that Paul is explaining, because this woman and this fertility cult was flipping the order and saying that in creation, women were made first and they were more important. And so Paul writes and reminds them, no, remember God made Adam first and afterwards he made Eve. And then he goes on and he says, and it was not Adam who was deceived by Satan. The woman was deceived and sin was the result. Again, because of everything we know about Paul, he's not saying that women are more easily deceived. He is explaining what happened in the creation story. Adam wasn't the one who was deceived by Satan. Eve was the one who was deceived. Eve didn't hear directly from God's mouth, as far as we know, what God said about not eating the fruit of the tree. From what we understand, Adam must have hopefully passed that information on. And so Eve has a conversation with the serpent, with Satan, and she's deceived by the serpent and she eats the fruit. And then she gives it to Adam, who was apparently standing there. And so Paul's explaining that Adam wasn't deceived by Satan. Adam openly sinned. Eve was the one who was deceived and sin was the result, as the last part of verse 14 points out. So understanding that passage, then it's not talking about men being more important or more clear in their thinking and less easily deceived. He's just explaining what happened in the creation story, possibly to counteract the false teaching that they were hearing around them and maybe even in the church from a particular woman. And then finally, he says those interesting words, but women will be saved through childbearing. And we don't really know what that means, except that we know it can't mean that every woman is saved by bearing a child, because that would mean that single women or women who aren't ever able to have their own children aren't saved. And we know that salvation only comes through Jesus. So one of the things that's very highly possible about this verse, verse 15 of chapter 2, is that Paul's talking about Jesus, that women will be saved through childbearing or through the birth of the child, the promised child who we know as Jesus. In the curse that God pronounced on humanity, which included that division between male and female and the angst that was then between them, he also talked about how the woman's seed would be the salvation of humanity. Even in that curse was the promise of salvation and the promise of Jesus. And so it's in Jesus that women will be saved, and then continuing in that salvation to live in faith, love, holiness, and modesty. Someone commented, rather than a question, but commented on that passage as well, and saying that it's possible that hearkening back to women wanting to control men, that Paul just reminded them that it's not about women becoming more important than men in having authority over them, but it's about being equal in status. Not flipping the hierarchy, but getting rid of the hierarchy completely. Yeah, absolutely. Very possible. Again, as you hear me saying, it's possible, or I think, or this is likely, we don't know for sure, but what we do know is that Paul doesn't contradict himself. And so when we see difficult passages that seem like a contradiction, we have to understand those a little more deeply. Just a couple of other questions. Someone asked about the positives of being a man, because my message on Sunday was very one-sided in favor of women. And I did that on purpose. I did that because we do have a male-dominated society, and even people have used the Bible to see men as more important than women in leadership roles and in the kingdom of God. And there are definitely positives to being a man and definitely positives to being a woman. But I wanted to go out of my way in this message and in this Q&A to talk about the equality in God's eyes of men and women and the equality in his kingdom and in his church. And the very final question that we had, someone said, Jesus seems very countercultural in his treatment of women in that time. Would he be considered a feminist today? And I don't know. I don't know whether that label or that title of feminist is particularly helpful, because it can mean all sorts of different things. If you said that would Jesus be considered someone who saw men and women as equal and went out of his way to make that point in the way that he treated women, absolutely. But if he was the kind of person to go out of his way to see women as more important than men, then I don't think so. But if you have a particular view of feminism and a feminist that just sees men and women as equal and arguing for that, then perhaps Jesus could fit in that category. But it's an interesting thing to consider as we sit in our world and look back to the time that Jesus lived in. Thanks so much for all your questions. We're coming up to the final week of the series this Sunday when we answer the question, what about church? So I look forward to that and the Q&A next week based on that message. Have a great week.